Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the first Grilling Guys of 2017, and we're going to kick it off with a little bit of winter wonderland. We're going to travel around, talk about a few things that might be a little different than we've done in the past. But hey, it's a new year, and we're ready to go. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, man?
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Good to see you, Jop. First time I've seen you in this whole year.
Yeah, we did spend some time together before the first of the year, but haven't seen you. So it's good to see you here. Let me, cheers to you.
Yeah, cheers.
I'm toasting a Mad Tom's Porter from Schmoe's Brewery. And also joining us in the studio is the baritone of beer himself, Chaz Thompson. Welcome, Chaz.
Happy New Year, guys.
Hey, man, it's good to have you here. But
it's even better to see him when he brings a six-pack.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever been here without one.
That would be sacrilegious, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be unlike you, too.
Right. I think there's a man law about it.
Yeah.
Let's write one.
I think we just did.
I'll let you write that one.
Yeah. I think we just did. If the brewer shows up without beer, then I don't know. There's an end
out
to that. Yeah.
So how's your grilling this week?
You know what? It was fun. My friend, Mr. Sobey, had given me a little holiday gift. You know, he's such a great guy, and I went over just to wish him a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and before I walked out of there, I had these two mittens that he gave me, and that translates to these big porterhouse steaks that the way he cuts them, they look like a mitten, and I grilled those up, and I took your advice. I think I talked maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago about how I used the green egg for a charcoal grill, and I just relit it after I'd smoked in it, and I had this smoking,
we've all done that,
super red hot fire, about 1,000 degrees, cooking.
Was
in there.
Was it in the garage though?
No, it wasn't. So then this time I pushed all the coals to the back, right? So I had a cooler spot in the front, and all the heat was in the back, and was able to use it as a charcoal grill. And I always, you know, you get home from work when I was doing this, and it's night out.
You're always rushing a little
bit. Right, you're rushing a little bit. But you get the fire going and it's night out. And those embers after the flame dies down are just in there moving, you know, and they're red. It's gorgeous. I took a little video of it and posted it when I was doing it.
I saw it. It looked awesome.
Yeah, they did. They turned out great, if I must say so.
Now, when you did that, did you do it as a live event? Or did you just video it and put it on?
I just videoed it and put it on. I'm probably not that technologically savvy to do it as a live event. Plus the fact it's kind of like this radio show. We record it in case I screw up. We can start over.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah. Well, that's probably safe because a live event could get a little dangerous, couldn't it?
Yeah.
I hit the live button while I was on the can.
Yeah.
Didn't really want to do that. I played around with... well, I had a house full of people for so long. All my kids, I have 5 kids, as everybody probably knows by now. My oldest was home with her husband and twins. My other daughter was home. My 2 boys with their girlfriend. I mean, we had a house full. Everybody had significant others. First time ever.
Right.
That was weird. And so all of a sudden, I'm feeding what I thought was an army before was just a platoon. Now I'm feeding a regiment.
Right.
And I'm like, my grocery bill is going through the roof. That's another crying story. But I had a nice pork loin, and my daughter Emily, who's turned into quite a chef, said she'd love some sweet and sour pork and fried rice. And I thought, okay. So I got my pork loin out, and I did that little trick I like to do where I cut it into inch and a half chops, and I took my Jacquard to it, and I took some EVO from Old World Olive Company, some garlic EVO, and I put it on it, and I pounded it out with a Jacquard, and then I let them sit in the fridge overnight, and the next day I put them on the grill. I put them on my tech.
So that pork loin is pretty tender. When you get it, you're not using the Jacquard so much to tenderize
it. No, pork loin, not tenderloin.
Okay. So the pork loin, and you drove that oil in there, and what was your reasoning behind that?
Well, because pork loin is the bigger cut, the longer
about
cut,
size of
and
softball.
It's very, very dense. There's no fat in it.
Right.
So when you grill it, just like a pork chop, you can ruin it real easily because it gets mm-hmm. dry. So I put oil on it, and I take my Jacquard. You can use a meat hammer if you don't have a Jacquard. And you put your oil on it and watch for the splatter. But pound it out, put some nice EVO on it, and let it set for a day. And then when you grill it, put your salt on, the pepper on right when you grill it, and it is phenomenal. I mean, it's so tender, it's ridiculous. So I grilled up all these chops, and then I let them cool. In the meantime, I have this giant camping griddle.
Cast iron?
No, it's steel. My wife bought it. It's just a cheapie, but it's hermungus, as my friend used to say.
Yeah.
And I put it on top of the range, and I lit all five burners and heated it up nicely. And then I had already pre-cooked a massive pot of rice, and I had peas. I cut up carrots and onions. I got some eggs out.
Oh, you're making fried rice.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. So I sauteed the vegetables a little bit, and I dumped the it was like being at Ichiban.
Yeah?
I dumped the rice on the griddle. If you just tuned in, it's the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And
the dancing lights.
You can follow us on Facebook. / the Grilling Guys. You can hit me at Twitter. It's Grilling Guy, or you can go to thegrillingguys.com and catch some of these recipes or pictures of things you want to check up on, or just basically for entertainment purposes.
Well, so you start talking about this live streaming of Facebook. I think this would have been the event because you could have been
doing little still photos. I was by myself, dude. Everybody's sitting around like waiting for Hop Singh to come out with dinner. So I didn't even have a recorder with me. So I dumped the rice on. I hit it with some salt. I dumped some eggs on there because you have to fry some eggs. It was so nice. My point is, having this giant griddle on top of your stove, it's the bomb. If you're a grilling guy, if you like cooking, to have that big surface, it's just the bomb. So I put some pictures on the Grilling Guys Facebook page. If you have one of those grills or griddles, try it on your stovetop because you can. I think we paid $40 for it at like Gander Mountain.
Right, I got one that's made out of magnesium, and I think
of course you do.
Well, it came with
your Rolls Royce, probably.
Right, yeah, it did. But the point is that they heat up pretty evenly, and you have to be careful when you're done with them because they retain the heat. At least mine does. It retains the heat for a long damn time.
That's another story.
Right. Yeah. That's why I have no tread on my fingertips, right? It burned it off.
Oh, you burnt your little alligator arms up, huh? Well, so then I took that. The fried rice was awesome. I made this big mound of it. I just let it – I shut off all the burners and let it set. And whipped up a little bit of sweet and sour sauce, chopped up the pork chop, and threw in some roasted red peppers and some green peppers and pineapple and all kinds of stuff.
In your fried rice?
In the sweet and sour sauce. I chopped up those pork chops, those loin chops, threw them in there, and we had a fantastic faux Chinese dinner.
Right.
I mean, right off the range top.
Finlander
I didn't even have
Chinese
to go outside.
Dinner.
Yeah. So that
the Nirmico buffet.
Right. Yeah, well, that happens a lot.
There was no fried rice left. This mountain of it that I had, not a bit left. There was one extra serving, and somebody quickly scarfed that up. I was kind of hoping to have a lunch out.
Zeus? It wasn't Zeus?
No. But I did notice that there was probably a couple servings under the grates of the stove, so it does get a little messy there.
Bob got a little fling going on when he was frying his rice.
So, you know, it's the ice fishing and sledding show, and that's why we invited Chaz in here, because Chaz is quite the hard water guy, and I thought we could pass out some tips on ice fishing. Can you share any of that knowledge in that big cranium?
Oh,
of yours?
I got it all.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right.
And he's got a really good Mad Tom's porter, a robust porter that we're sampling today.
I don't know why he calls it robust, because I think it's smooth and mellow, and it's low ABV, so that's a nice go-to in the winter if you like porters. It's not a sissy porter. It's a manly porter.
Right. Coming up next, we're going to get on some hard water with Chaz. Stick with us. We'll be back.